it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. But player inside Craywood, too. He's got it. He's got it. And player has done it. Player has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Reminding you that you could check out the Under the Hood podcast. For those of you that don't know, you can always look up the Under the Hood podcast. If you're a podcast listener on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on Google Play, wherever you find your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Subscribe, hit that subscribe button so that way you never miss an episode of this show, weeknights at 7, or some of our other content like Value Bet with Joe Ostrowski, like Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, like Chicago's College Tailgate, like For the Love of the Pod, our NBA podcast I do with Chris Bleck. Check it out. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download that podcast. Run to your device. You never miss an episode. It's funny. We always add Jim Ross in that call against Ricky Steamboat. Jim Ross, longtime wrestling announcer, working with New Japan Pro Wrestling, by the way. And we always play the Ric Flair beating Rick Steamboat from Nashville 89, right? One little wrestling note as we get back to our Bears conversation, you know, this Bears Monday. I saw this, of course, I went through online a couple times to see this. Roman Reigns, a name that you might know, WWE Universal Champion, is fighting leukemia, and he's relinquishing the Universal title. He has leukemia, so he is stepping away from the ring. Whew, that's rough. For Vince McMahon, and it's rough definitely for Roman Reigns. Apparently, he's been dealing with it for 11 years. So all the best to Roman Reigns, a guy that all he goes and does for young people with the Make-A-Wish, all he does for that company, and now he's stepping away from the company. So all the best to Roman Reigns there. And I'm sure I'll be talking about that this week on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, part of my podcast that I do for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Glad that you're with us here as we talk Bears. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number as the Bears lose to the New England Patriots 38-31. We asked on the poll question, we're asking on the phone lines as well, is your letter grade for the Bears through the first six games of the season? 50% of you say C, 43% of you say B. So it's pretty close between the C and B. It's not an A, it's not a D, it's really a B minus to a C. It's 3-3, you're 500. I mean, you can make 500 sound how you want. If it wasn't for this play, if it wasn't for this half against the Packers, if it wasn't for these plays against the Miami Dolphins, if it wasn't for those plays against the Patriots yesterday, bottom line is that those are losses. But there are wins in there as well. And as I mentioned in our first hour, I'm looking to be wrong about the Bears. 7-9 is not bad when you have a first-year coach and you're trying to dig out from underneath. I'm just hoping for better for this Bears team, that maybe they're better than I think. But we have to see as the season progresses, see how they're going to work out. I think that what I've seen from the Bears through the first six games is similar to maybe what you see, is that there is some improvement there with the offense, but it still is a long way to go. Because there's so many different wrinkles with this offense. And you look at the defense looked played well early. You see how the defense is playing when Khalil Mack's not 100%. This is not just a Khalil Mack defense. There are other guys defensively that need to step up as well. It's not a Leonard Floyd defense. Others have to be able to get to the quarterback. Maybe that happens against Sam Darnold on Sunday. We'll see. But what I saw from the Bears defense last couple of games reminded me of Lovie at the end. And really a lot of the John Fox era, in which there's a lot in between there, where after the kickoff is there and the opposite team is settled in, there's a lot of plays in the back of the linebackers in front of the secondary. gashed over and over again. Big plays, missed tackles. That can't happen. Can't happen. So I don't care if you're a team that's not desperate for the playoffs or not. That's got to get better. So we're talking to you about this here on the Spears Monday, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Some thoughts from Mitch Trubisky. There's a lot of underthrows and some mistakes made by Trubisky. He just thought he played all right in yesterday's performance against the Patriots.
I thought I played all right. Made some plays here and there. We were moving the ball as an offense, but then you just go back to those, giving the ball away, the two interceptions. And not that I thought they were bad decisions or anything or bad throws, just 50-50 balls. And the credit goes to them for making plays, but we got to continue to take care of the football. That's on me. But we did move the ball as an offense, proud of the way we battled. We just got to make sure that we just come closer together and get better from the experience and go back to work this week because it takes all three phases and all 11 guys at the same time on each and every single play. So I thought we did some good things. I thought I played all right and just going to watch the film and see what we can do even better. I feel like I left some completions out there. Immediately you come back, you look at the completion percentage, you just want to complete every throw, you go out there. But I thought I gave myself, my team, a chance to win. And we were close on the last play, but like I said before, it's a culmination of plays throughout the game, and we just got to make sure that we continue to get better as an offense. I thought we did some good things today, but we just got to make sure that we continue to clean up our mistakes, be even better on third down in the red zone, continue to move the football, and take pressure off our defense and special teams and make sure we're getting better in those areas as well. So we just got to keep improving as a team.
312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Your letter grade for the Bears through the first six games of the year. Greg in Streamwood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Jonathan. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making your call.
So my letter grade is a C. Mm-hmm. And to start off, I had the Bears at the beginning of the season at 6-8. Then they got Khalil Mack. I went to 7-9. Then after the first couple games, I'm like, oh, maybe they're an 8-8 team. And the reason it's a C is they're making a lot of the same mistakes over and over in the games. They're not learning from their mistakes. Like missed tackles. Last against Tampa, you thought they would clean some of that up, and then you see a whole bunch of missed tackles again against the Patriots. Same thing for Mitchell Trubisky. Missed passes, overshooting, underthrowing, and then passes in the end zone where he doesn't see a defender. I mean, those are the reasons I think they're a C. They're not learning from their previous mistakes.
All right, so you had him at 6-8-1. Apparently a tie was going to be in that mix as well. All right, my friend, I'm glad you checked in, Greg. I appreciate your phone call. Some good thoughts there. He leaves line open, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Mike in Lakeview with Jonathan Hood as we talk Bears on ESPN 1000. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going? I'm confused how people are getting a B if we're 3-3, but I don't know, you know. Aside from that, I give the Bears a D. Right now, we're barely getting by. You know, we're barely passing. We're 3-3. I went to the game on Sunday. I was there, and I saw things that the coach didn't see. I saw an injured Khalil Mack out there just basically like a pawn. I saw we let Tom Brady do whatever he wanted in the back. He hung out, and he made a lot of passes. We gave him time. I saw sloppy special teams, which I haven't seen in a long time. You can't excuse special teams ball on that one kick return. Half the field was wide open. I don't know where the coaching was on that or what special teams play that was. So I've seen a lot of negatives, and we're 3-3, and I mean, that's the record. 3-3 is 500%. So I'd give us a D. We're barely squeaking by right now, and we're almost to the halfway point, and we're in risk of repeating last year over again.
So 50% back in school was a failing record, right?
Yes, it was. I just graduated out of UIC. If you get 50-50, you failed. It might be a curve. I'll give them a D for NFL curve. But if I don't know what school they went to, but 50-50 is not good.
Go Flames, Mike. Go Flames.
I don't know, man. They played good last year when
no,
I was there.
You it say cool. Go Flames. You say it.
Go Flames.
There you go, buddy. That was it. That really was the hallmark of a Flames fan there. Go Flames. We really didn't play well that we could have played better. That Fort Wayne game. That's usually the lament from Little Italy. Go Flames. Yeah, you know, we really could have won the Horizon last year. Give me another beer, bartender. That's usually how it is in Little Italy. Put this on the poll, Felix, at ESPN 1000. Do you see things that Matt Nagy doesn't see? Yes or no? Because Mike from Lakeview said he was at the game and he saw things that Matt Nagy did not see on film. 312-332-ESPN is our telephone number. John and Joliet with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 here on this Beer Down Monday. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You know how I'm doing. We're 3-3 staring into the Jets game. You know how I'm doing.
I know. Hey, you know what, though? Brady didn't walk in the league and was a Super Bowl champion to begin with. He had to fight through some stuff. So, you know what? I give him a C-plus because at least the offense has some kind of program that is almost reminiscent to what New England does, and not too many teams have them. I don't want to be the Giants right now. At least they have a little bit of something, and they're going the right direction. So, I mean, let's not get down on them. Brady didn't come in and just win Super Bowls. It took a while before he did it.
I understand, but I think that when you're in this city, you have to call it the way you see it, meaning that if there's some good and some bad. See, that's the thing. This is not a D effort. I understand from Mike from Lakeview. He's a UIC fan, so of course he sees things with the glass half empty. But what I'm saying is that there's some, when you're at 500, the way I look at it is there's some good and some bad. Like this, you're right. It could be the Giants. It could be a bad situation. It's not. Usually those first year teams, when a coaching staff looks at his roster and says, man, there's a lot of guys that can't play on this roster. We got to clean it up and we got to get better for year two, year three, year four. Here's something that I think that I see that Matt Nagy doesn't see. He doesn't see that Josh Bellamy and Deion Sims should not be on this roster. How about that? How about Deion Sims sucks? How about that? How about if he doesn't suck, he should be on special teams? How about them apples? How about Deion Sims? There should never be any more plays run for Deion Sims. That's enough. Saw enough of that in the Packer game. Saw it yesterday. How about that's enough? When they need, it's weird too, because a lot of times, is it just me or is it usually like on third down and it's tight and you got to get it to Deion Sims for the first down and he can't catch the ball? Or it's an overthrow. How about Josh Bellamy should be on a different football team? How about that? Bellamy's got jokes. How about him go to a different football team and let him flourish there? That's what I think. I think I'm ready to see someone else in that spot. How about giving Kevin White the ball a little bit more often? How about that? Unless Kevin White's just not showing what they need to see in practice, how about seeing Kevin White a little bit more often? I'm not saying, look, you might have to have him out there anyway, because if the injury situation is as serious and so serious that Allen Robinson can't have. Now, Allen Robinson had 5 targets. He was 1 for 4. If he can't be more of a catalyst for you offensively, maybe you need to go to something different. Just saying. But the answer is not Deion Sims. It's not Josh Bellamy. Or Bradley Sowell either. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Back to the phone lines we go. We will say hello to Brian in Kenosha with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. We talk Bears. Hi, Bri.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Good. Just driving home from the long day of work. Felt like I had to come in.
Oh, man.
I got 3 things, actually. A grade, an observation, and a question.
I'm ready.
I'll give them a solid D+. Base that off of we're so very close to being 5-1. I feel like, and based off the expectations as well. Very low expectations coming in. Observation, I started the season wanting to hate Kyle Fuller, and after game one it was pretty easy, but I kind of like the nasty Kyle Fuller we've been seeing these last couple games. I think when he's drawn with the receivers, he's a better defender.
I don't think that it's going to be where you can love him all season, because you've seen the holes, Brian. You've seen what I've seen. Like, there's some holes there where he doesn't come to play, and there's other times where he really does a good job of getting in position, defending his position, or being in a position to intercept the ball. So I don't think that he's a complete player, but I think that he can make some plays. If that's good enough, then that's who he is.
I agree. I wanted to cut him early on. Anyway,
yes, I understand you did.
Is there a history? In the history of quarterbacks, is there one who got more accurate with time? I mean, like, look, I think his style of play, comparable maybe like a Steve Young, John Elway, Russell Wilson, I don't know if he'll ever reach those levels, but did they ever get more accurate as they went on? And it's hard to determine just off of completion percentage because it's not directly correlation. But do we have hope that Trubisky is going to get more accurate with time?
I think so. I think that I don't have numbers to support this argument. I will just tell you that when you're a fan, you're watching game by game, season by season, how young quarterbacks develop. I think that, yes, there is a lot of room for improvement, and I think that Trubisky can get better. Now, here's the thing. The one thing I can't tell you, because I'm just not going to do – there's no meatballs served here weeknights, so I can't give you the meatball answer of telling you that he's not – that he'll never be Mahomes, or he'll never be Josh Rosen, or he'll never be Sam Darnold. Because, see, I don't know. I don't know what that is. But I'll tell you this. As I said this summer in Bourbonnais, this season will tell a great story of what Trubisky can be for 16 games. That's my evaluation is week by week, but also my final thought on Trubisky for this year will be when it's deserved, and that's the end of the season. I think that's fair analysis, because you will have people at work, or you'll have people on your social media or people texting you that are Bears fans, some that will say that Trubisky sucks or Trubisky can't get the job done, and that's just not fair. I think there's some things that Trubisky does do well. I think but he's got to get comfortable in this offense. I just think the measured approach for a first year coach in a first year offense, I think that's fair. Now, me, I'm a little antsy. Yeah, I'd like to see more, but I will not make a final determination that Trubisky's this or that until we see the full year, and then we'll know what he is. That's just being fair, and I'll evaluate all the quarterbacks. The young quarterbacks like that. It includes Cocky Rosen in Arizona. He gets up there. Josh Rosen, he's not cocky. He's convinced, actually. He gets up there, and he's laughing the entire time and getting his brains beat out. We just got to get better next week. Offensive line just got to get better next week. Yeah, I missed a throw here. I missed a throw there. Yeah, it's fine. And the media in Phoenix asked him, like, you know, you do a lot of smiling. He goes, when I stop smiling, you should worry. I said, oh, Josh Rosen, he's not cocky, he's convinced. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You will get this, though, on social media, and you'll get this from your friends, that Trubisky's not Pat Mahomes, so he's not good. That's not fair. Pat Mahomes is doing some things that I've never seen as far as the numbers are concerned. That offense works well for him right now. Now, gets in the playoffs, might be a different story. Maybe later on in the season is a different story. But what we can report right now, whether you're a fantasy football person or just a football fan in general, it's looking good for him. Very good, right? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. Al and Dalton on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood as we talk Bears. Hello, Al.
Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
Good, man. How you feel?
I feel good. Feel good. Been better if we had won that game yesterday.
I know.
My grade on the Bears right now, they're a C. Not good, not bad. They're right in between. There's some things that Trubisky is good at, but he's been inconsistent. Underthrow, overthrow, like the previous caller has said, that's happening week in and week out. I don't see any improvement in some of those short throws. His long throws, same thing. He's sometimes either spot on or too long. And as far as the offense is concerned, where's our running game? We have no identity as a running game. It's either going to be Howard or Cohen or both, but it's just we don't have an identity on our running game yet.
That's the thing.
I feel like he can improve.
Yeah,
and I think there's some things that Nagy can put into Trubisky's head. But looking at Mahomes last night, and I totally agree, it's unfair to compare him to that. Although they came out the same year. There's something that we're not getting, I guess, when it comes to quarterbacks all along, that we're not able to teach them and to keep them going. I really think also, too, that bye week hurt them. They were going forward. They had a good year, even though it was Tampa Bay. But that week off hurt them because it looks like the last 2 weeks, they kind of stepped back.
All right, my friend. I appreciate your telephone call. You know, you talk about the running game. I mentioned that in the first hour. The running game could be a lot better. In this RPO system, clearly, Matt Nagy has more of an affinity for Tariq Cohen than Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard's not going to last here. That's too bad. Jordan Howard is a good back, but apparently maybe not for this system. It's too bad. I can see Pro Bowl in Jordan Howard's future. Not because he got voted in, but, you know, maybe some people will step out, you know. But I see Jordan Howard in the Pro Bowl. That guy has the ability to be Neil. He could be a good, he could be a Neil Anderson. Neil went to the Pro Bowl once, you know. And having, and for those that are too young to remember Neil Anderson, Neil came in after Walter Payton. And it was, I won't say it's seamless because I almost said that. It's not seamless. But Neil just did what he could do to run the football effectively. And now, of course, that's a whole different system back then. But Jordan Howard is an effective back. He's never going to be great, I don't think, but I think he's going to be he's an effective back. But I'll say what I said last year, and I'll stick by it. If Tariq Cohen is your lead running back, then you don't really have much of a running game. I'm just saying. Just maybe it's just old school me and not understanding, but I always believe that you should have two quality running backs just for change of pace. If Jordan Howard is not a guy you could trust to throw the football to him in the flat, but you trust Tariq Cohen, Cohen can be the lead for that. But I still believe in that interchangeable part with the running game between the tackles. If you need it, it's there. So I don't believe in moving away from the running game. I think they should have ran the football more against the Patriots. Is that the difference between a win and a loss? I don't know. But I think that they should have. So there's some things that you might have missed throughout the day that I want to keep you up to speed with regarding the NFL and the Bears. How about a little wall of sound?
Here's my dog, Jay Hood.
Some radio, I'm told, will transmit news stories within minutes of their occurrence. It's the age of information.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
You play to win the game.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
What do you care? Okay. If you were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood, too.
What's up with the what's up?
Little wall of sound for you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. How about Tariq Cohen? Frustration on the offense?
It's very frustrating, you know. But you got to take it as, you know, this season's all about roller coasters. The NFL season's all about roller coasters. You got to, you know, within, you know, endure the bad times along with the good times.
It was sort of a roller coaster of a game, too. It seemed like you guys were out of it, then back in it. What does it say about this team?
We're very resilient. We're not going to back down to anyone. When it looks like we're down, you know, we're going to fight to get back in it. That's just what we do.
Tariq, what were they doing to take the deep ball away from you guys today?
I'm not sure initially it was them taking a deep ball away from us. We didn't hit on a lot of them. We threw, and we didn't really try on as many as we usually do.
How'd they defend you? What'd they do to defend you today?
The typical things that other defenses also do. Bracket here and there, and peeling linebackers and safeties.
Some thoughts from Akeem Hicks. I know he took it hard. Akeem Hicks is so passionate.
Super tough loss. Super tough loss. And I think it goes to it's even before that bomb and Hail Mary type situation. You know, the tough loss and didn't play the way we wanted to play. I don't think that we're down in spirits, though, because I do know that we have a great feeling of what kind of team that we're striving to be. I don't feel like there's a downturn in confidence or motivation to be better. But it's a tough loss, and you got to let it hurt for a little bit. Very different, very different. And I would say this, you know, we still had confidence last year that we could go in and win games. But I would say this year we know what type of team we have. We know we got a quarterback that's developing and throwing the ball down the field really well. We know we have a great wide receiver core. We know we have rushers that can get to the quarterback. We have a really good team, and we're going to have to figure out how to capitalize on that big play momentum and finish games out.
Bill Belichick.
Good road win on the road here. You know, I thought we played competitively today. Certainly getting the 14 points in the kicking game was big for us. But, you know, it's one of those kind of unusual back-and-forth games. Didn't have the ball a lot. Still able to score a lot of points. Some big plays on both sides, but good to win. And good to be 5-2. Be back in the division next week.
TB12.
You know, we're just going to keep developing our confidence in one another. And
He's making great plays when I throw him the ball. So
he's talking about Josh Gordon, by the way, the chemistry he has with Josh Gordon.
You know, we're just going to keep developing our confidence in one another. And he's making great plays when I throw him the ball. So just got to keep doing it. And, yeah, we had a good play action pass. I had great protection. And he was running kind of a deep in cut and tried to throw it. And he caught it in stride and ran over the safety and got down to about the one-yard line. It was an incredible play. So we really needed that. We got the interception. John picked the ball off. We had to go 96 yards. We were talking about, come on, this is the 196 yards. And we ended up doing it. So it was good at the end there to have good four-minute offense and run a lot of the clock off. But, you know, give them credit. They fought to the end. They made some plays when they needed to. And, you know, but for us, I think we all feel pretty good about a win and rest up and get ready for a Monday night game.
Oh, no!
But jumped on top of the football.
Yeah, he's looking right into the sun as well.
It's locked. Ball trying to get scooped up by New England, and they do. Going in for the touchdown, Van Noy! Patriots go in front. On special teams, Dante Hightower comes firing through for New England.
That doesn't happen in the Dave Tobe administration, pal. Highlight courtesy of CBS. Ooh, bird! Iron Eagle with the call. And that's our wall of sound right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Shall we get to do another one? Because there's some interesting things happening in the NFL. Even I think there were some interesting things happening in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up at 9 o'clock. By the way, at 9:10, we'll hear from Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears for ESPN. Chicago.com. Also, Malika Andrews on the Bulls in the NBA coming up at 9:30. Under the hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Tales from the Hood. We got some stories for you, and we got a ticket giveaway. Step right, listen to Vice, how you can win some tickets on the program. Oh, yeah.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is
on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Time for Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. It's brought to you by Northwestern football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Fitz and the Cats host Wisconsin this Saturday at Ryan Field. Limited tickets remain. Buy now at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Got some stories for you. How about this one here? There's a lot of them here, but let's check out this one. Toddler goes through baggage x-ray at train station. Yes. Security cameras were rolling in a Chinese train station when a curious toddler climbed onto a baggage belt and went through the x-ray scanner. The video was filmed and it shows the man going through security when his young son disappears from view. The man gets to the other side of the checkpoint and notices his son is missing. He turns to find the boy, who then crawls out of the luggage x-ray machine. What do you think the x-ray showed?
The little baby walking around. What if you put them inside those little trays? You know what I mean? Like going right in and just put them right in the tray.
Sorry, Felix. What do you think it showed there? We did a story not too long ago about how those trays are as nasty as...
The nastiest thing in... Yeah. It's nastier than the bathrooms, they're saying, at an airport.
Isn't that something?
That's disgusting.
My goodness. So does that mean I have to put like a liner down for my laptop? Or my CPAP machine.
CPAP machine. Or put a sweater and then just throw it away.
Yeah, right. So something like that, right? Man.
I would.
Man whose flatulence ended police interview pleads guilty. Yes, Kansas City, Missouri. A man whose excessive flatulence forced a police detective to cut shots and interrogation has pleaded guilty to federal gun and drug charges. So, the Kansas City Star reports that 25-year-old Sean Sykes Jr. entered a plea Monday. The charges stem from a police traffic stop in September in Kansas City in which officers found a backpack of drugs. A detective reported that when asked for the address, Sykes leaned to one side of his chair and released a loud fart before answering. Court documents say Sykes continued to be flatulent, and the detective was forced to quickly end the interview. Sykes will be sentenced at a later date after a pre-sentence report is completed.
Awkward.
20 years of Law and Order. They can give us one of those.
Right?
20 years.
Like running out of stories. That might be a good one to start off with.
20 years of Law and Order. They couldn't have just someone's like, okay, where were you on the night of? I said, where were you on the night of? You're guilty. Get out.
Just cut them away.
How about that? I think that's something they should look into. I'm not reading this story. No, Felix. I'm not going to read this story. I'll say, I'll put this, you know what, I'll put this in Waddle's mailbox. He can read this for Waddle's World, their version of Tales from the Hood. I'm not going to even read the headline. Florida man accused of cutting off his of ex-new boyfriend. No, I'm not going to even do that. Not going to read that story. I'll leave say that for Waddle. This one here, I don't know why you gave me this, because you're the one who's lived in Los Angeles and I have not been to Los Angeles, but I understand it's so difficult to try to find housing, affordable housing in Los Angeles, in the Orange County area, right? So you sent me this story about It's Dorm Life for Adults, a pod share co-living building in Venice Beach, California, brother. where Hogan lived for many years, brother. Where dorm beds go for about $1,400 per month with shared kitchen and bathrooms. I'm looking at these pods. It looks like jail. It does look like jail. Look, the picture that you gave me,
it does look like jail.
It's just like there's a bottom and there's a top. If you watch Shameless, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
There's a bottoms and there's a top bunk, right? And it looks like, you know. So, what was your living situation like in Los Angeles? Because I'm looking at these. You know, if you can't find an affordable home living in a pod, it says here it's $1,400 a month for this thing in Venice Beach. I mean, so. How difficult was the struggle for you to find some place to live?
Well, when I first moved out there, I moved out there with two roommates, two people I knew, and we actually got an apartment in North Hollywood, and we split it three ways, and I ended up paying on just rent alone about $950.
Ooh,
yeah,
and that's a third of that.
So, how close were you to the spot, the chicken and waffle spot on Gower?
What are you talking about, Roscoe's?
Yeah, it wasn't too far, right?
No, I had a few of them around the area. Yeah.
That sounds about right. About $2,700
Sean's hungry.
out of all the things he pulled out, Roscoe's chicken and waffle. No,
one of my friends from college stayed in North Hollywood, and that's what I remember it being close to that Gower spot.
This kitchen's not bad, though. The shared co-living kitchen, not bad.
Listen, when I lived in L.A., my goal out there was to chase the dream, so I wasn't really home. So the idea of spending so much money to stay where you stood, where you basically slept there, because most of the day you were busy. You're out there grinding, you know? You're going out for auditions or working, so you were really out of the house. So when you hear about something like that, you're not really spending most of your day there.
Some of these places, $2,200 a month for a dorm-like suites, up to $3,500 a month for a traditional one-bedroom. Come on. This city has got it made compared to out there.
You can only do that in New York and L.A.
Yeah.
That type of living?
Man.
Only works in New York and L.A.
Man.
Can you imagine someone in your neighborhood just pulling up like one of those pods and they just pull it up right in front of your street and you just see someone just coming in and out of that pod all the time? It's like, what are you doing?
Wow. That is just way too much.
It is.
Could never see myself in one of those. It looks like jail. It does. Those pods, it does. I'm just saying. All right, Felix, what do you have?
All right, I have a Canadian Girl Scout cashes in long lines at a dispensary. So we have a Canada legalized recreational pot this week, and its dispensary were the only ones with a business plan.
Is she a Girl Scout or is she a Girls Scout?
Well, the headline said Girl Scout, but okay. She is a Girls Scout.
Ah.
So a Girl Scout came out and she went and she was thinking, where can I sell? She was going up with competition with people in her Girl Scouts. So she was like, where can I go? Where can I go? And she thought of a great idea. She went around and found her local legalized marijuana dispensary and thought there's always long lines. Why not sell it to them? And she was able to cash in big. She said she sold out all her stock in just 45 minutes, making a total of $120. $120 in 45 minutes is solid.
That is solid. Any credit card, or is that just straight cash,
homie? Straight cash, homie. Straight cash.
Straight cash business.
Mm-hmm.
Sean knows about that. Straight cash business.
Yes, sir.
You might want to consider at the church. Go back to the good old days. Just the pan. Just put it right in the pot.
You don't like the text donations?
No, I don't think that's... You know mother in the front row don't know nothing about that. I think you should go with straight cash at the church. Put that on the bolt now. Should you go to the straight cash? I think that will change things.
Hey, man. Changing the game.
Getting too frou-frou.
The moth offering.
That's right. I think that you should put straight cash in there. This idea that you got like some texture money. Mm-mm.
Technology,
If I was a pastor, I wouldn't trust it. Just give me the straight cash. That's how you deal. Nonsense. All right, Sean, what do you have?
Of course, we'll be talking about this a little bit later, but of course, Saturday night in L.A., the Brawl NBA, CP3, Rajon Rondo. But what video and still photos have caught on Twitter is rapper Nipsey Hussle, L.A.'s finest, in the front row as the fight was going on, pulling his pants up, about to square up as the fight got closer to him. He was approached by TMZ, and he said, "I would never jump into an NBA fight. Nah." But he also said he was readying himself just in case the fight spilled into his area of the stands. As for who won the fight, he says, just like the NBA season, of course, the Lakers won the fight. My question is, at any point, is there anything that would make you square up if you saw a brawl at a sporting event? If you're on the floor at the United Center, back in the day, Pistons, Bulls, game 5, tied 2-2.
Pippen against the basket stanchion. And I know that that was, I think, I'm not even sure if that was at home or on the road. But that will make me want to fight one of those guys.
What about the brawl between JoJo English and Derek Harper? That was Bulls Knicks. It spilled into the stands.
Yes, I probably would try to get it involved.
You would have got an elbow in on
yes,
Derek Harper.
Yes, I would have. Sorry, D. Bam! Big elbow. That's why I would have done it. Absolutely. Otherwise, no. But I will tell you this. You spit on me, we got a problem.
Yeah, no passive-aggressive finger to the head.
Nope.
I'll hit you in the name of the Lord. That's not how it is.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Petticoat Junction.
It's time to get petty.
Well, we did a good job executing.
Are you upset with something?
And fire up the Petticoat Junction train.
I just don't like you.
You don't?
No.
What is today's petty historic? Petty Junction with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Yes, it is Petty Junction. We do this every Monday because over the weekend, you'll have certain shows that will tell you the funniest thing of the sports weekend, the wackiest thing of the sports weekend, waka waka. Here, we tell you what the pettiest thing in the sports weekend is. There's a ton. But you know what? We're going to narrow it down to what Sean mentioned earlier, and that is Saturday night. What a great sports night, by the way. Boiler up, Purdue. Boiler up. Heck of a game against Ohio State. A lot of gamblers didn't know which way to go at that game. And Purdue prevailed. A lot of good college football. That was a terrific finish for Purdue fans. But also, the Lakers with LeBron James coming to Los Angeles, playing his first home game at Staples Center. And there was some controversy. Now, Felix, instead of going through all the issues of the weekend, let's just narrow it down on Twitter, at ESPN 1000, at TweetJHood. The most pettiest. Is it Rajon Rondo for spitting on Chris Paul?
Petticoat Junction.
Is it Chris Paul for getting involved as well? Don't forget, Chris Paul was involved. He was the recipient of the two-piece.
Petticoat Junction.
I wonder, will Chris Paul call State Farm for that two-piece that he received? And, of course, Brandon Ingram, the quiet Brandon Ingram, who just went off.
Petticoat Junction.
Let's narrow down to those three. See who wins. Who was pettier this weekend in that particular game? Brandon Ingram for just snapping off. Rajon Rondo. Can't respect a man for spitting on somebody. That's wrong. Spitting in direction and spitting on me, that would make me see red also. And Chris Paul, the recipient of the two-piece. Sean, I will ask you first, who is the pettiest out of those three?
For me, the pettiest would definitely be Brandon Ingram. Just, I understand the frustration with constantly getting elbowed by James Harden all night with his moves and his quirky elbow positioning. But then to walk away, be calm, and then to come and jump in and give another two-piece to CP3 just for no reason, it had nothing to do with you, super petty. Absolutely super petty. Super petty.
Felix.
All right, I first was thinking Chris Paul, because I didn't see that other instant replay where they were going in slow motion, because I thought the finger in the face was offhand, and he's also been really annoying the last couple years. But Rondo for spitting in his face, man, that's uncalled for.
I can't go with the spitting, man. You can't spit on another man. You don't slap another man either.
Yeah.
Without receiving something in
so
return.
So disrespectful, man.
Can't do that, man. Oh. But Ingram was kind of weird, though.
He squared up on the ref, too.
Yes.
And he shoved James Harden to kick things off.
So that's just strange. All right, so put down the poll, see what happens at ESPN 1000 at Tweet J Hood. The Bears fell short against the New England Patriots. Why? We will address it coming up next.
We're talking Bears with you on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.